Amen.
Well, let's see. We've got some birthdays coming up here. Nicholas Moore on Wednesday. Huh? Did I put it on Wednesday? Oh, no, it's there. It's on the 20th. And anniversary, T.R. and Sandy Shepherd, the 21st. Wow. And Carly Patterson. Continue to pray for her. Amen. Well, stand up, boy. Nicholas, stand up. And Sandy, stand up. You can halfway stand up. All right. Amen. All right. Happy birthday anniversary. Happy birthday and anniversary to you. Happy birthday and anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. All right. Oh, yes. All right. Take your Bible, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to talk to you tonight about contending for the family. And glad to have visitors here tonight. God bless you. Glad to have you here tonight. Hope you enjoy yourself. Galatians chapter 5, contending for the family. There's a great onslaught of the Satan is trying to ruin our families, trying to destroy our families, trying to take away our privileges as being families. And I believe with all my heart that this is one of the ways that Satan is trying to really ruin our country. And we need to really pray about it. Today I got my ballot in the mail. How many got the ballot in the mail? All right. I want you to really pray about that. A lot of this election has to do with marriage. It really does. Has a lot to do with marriage, and we need to really, really look into what is really going on. I know there's been some terrible things said about some of these candidates, but I don't know about you, but I don't know if I'd want the news to scrutinize my high school years. I don't think I want to run for president. And so... it's amazing how some things are coming up now that have never come up in 30 years, 40 years. Amazing. There's a hidden agenda to it, so folks, you better vote your conscience. Number one, you ought to vote for someone who does not believe in killing babies.
Right.
And if you don't vote, you're taking my vote away. Secondly, you ought to vote considering the chief justices, the Supreme Court justice we're going to put in. That's a big deal. Okay, that's a real big deal. Some of you guys enjoy your gun rights. You aren't going to have any if somebody else gets in. Okay? I'm not trying to make you fearful. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen? And a lot of other things are going on. So be careful how you vote, but vote. Vote. It's your responsibility. I'm going to go home tonight. I'm going to do my vote, and I'm going to send it in because I don't know if I'm going to be home or not at the election. I want to make sure my vote counts. And so I want you to vote. Be very careful. Even be careful about who's running for your governor here. Be very careful about that. Be very careful about that. We had a surplus of $28 million, and we have hardly anything anymore. So you can just pray about that and think about that too. Amen. So anyway. Okay. Are you done? Yes. I'm afraid. Go ahead. You're on your own, pal.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on out there. You better pray about that one, amen. So, all right. Anybody else want to say anything? Thank you. All right, let's go to the Bible here. Galatians chapter 5. You say, you're political. No, I like living in America, and I like being free. I don't like that my kids are gonna, my grandkids are gonna have to pay trillions of dollars that we don't have anymore. Your kids, those 4 boys of yours, they're gonna have to pay for that. And I'm upset when you don't take care of my military people. I'm very upset when it doesn't come for that. You want? Never mind. No, I ain't going there. Here, that's not what I'm. After the service, maybe I'll sit down and just talk to you a little bit. How's that? All right. I just take care of our military. You promised them that you'd take care of them. Now take care of them. All right. Our poor visitor. What is going on? Why did I come to this church? But anyway, glad to have you tonight. All right. Let's stand and read God's word tonight. Let's see what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord God. I don't care what people say. I care what God says. This is what the Bible says, okay? Some of you don't like this, but I'm going to read it anyway. Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. The fear of God. Galatians. Oh, excuse me. Ephesians. Hey, I was in the right place. I was reading it. You didn't read it wrong. Yeah. Are you okay? All right, we'll be all right, all right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's interesting. Because Paul goes on to say, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. But before that, in verse 21, he says what? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I hear a lot of people say, well, got to submit. No, so does the man. We need to submit. We need to be to come under the practices of the Word of God and what the Word of God says. You say you're supposed to do something and it's wrong and it's against God's Word and your wife says, honey, you know, the Bible says this. Then what should you do? Submit to the Bible. This is what the Bible says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Guys, that means you're supposed to take a bullet for your wife, amen. You do anything you can to protect her. Do anything you can to make sure that she is taken care of. Got that? That's Bible. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband. You catch that? Own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What a beautiful portion of Scripture. Scripture says, you know what? Jesus loved the church so much he died for it. So husbands, you love your wife so much that you would die for her. I'll do anything I can. I will support her. I will look after her. Listen to that. That he might sanctify and cleanse it from the washing of the water of the word. That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It's your responsibility to take care of your wife, see? So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. That's some powerful words. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his whole, of his body, of his flesh and his bone. For this cause, a man shall, there's three things a man's supposed to do, all right? For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother. You're done. Once she says, I do, daddy, you have no more responsibility over her. When she says, I do, the daddy has no more responsibility. I've seen more families get busted up because of moms and dads stick their nose in their kids. You go, if you want to have a conference with your mom and dad, you go see them and say, "Mom, Dad, what you think?" You're already married. You go see them and you talk to them and they give you some advice you don't think that's right. You have every right in the world to say, "Thanks, Dad and Mom, we love you." And you don't have to argue about it. Everybody's got an opinion. You don't have to give your opinion. Just say, "Well, thank you." And go about your business. And do what you believe as a husband and wife ought to do. "What do you mean you're going to move away from us?" Shut up. You shouldn't give her to him. Who giveth this woman to be the husband of this wife? Her mother or not? I was at one wedding and they said, "All of us." It's kind of funny. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother," number one. Number two, he is to what? Join unto his wife. And number three, they become one flesh. "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife, she that she..." Oh, brother. He said, "Are you kidding me? This is the guy who leaves his underwear all over the floor, his socks. He doesn't pick up. I mean, he comes and eats and like a pig and walks out. I'm supposed to reverence him?" Read your Bible. What's the Bible say? If you take care of him, he may take care of you. Well, no. Reverence her husband. In fact, Sarah said to Abraham, he called him Lord. And some said, "Yeah, I know why. Lord, why'd you give me this guy? I tell you what. What is he thinking of?" Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us, care for us, help us tonight as we look into the Word of God. We love you and we are so excited about hearing the Word of God and as a family. Lord God, help us to be careful about our family. Help us to guard our family. Help us to nurture our family. Help us to cleave unto our wives and leave our parents and to be one flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Marriage is a wonderful thing. Small boy came in from play, just a little guy, and he climbed up to his mama's lap. He said, "Mama, where did Daddy come from?" "He came from Michigan." "Mama, where were you born?" "I was born in Iowa." She smiled fondly. "And you were born in Minnesota." He smiled and said, "Isn't it wonderful that we all got together?" True story. You heard of the fellow who married his wife because he wanted someone to cook and clean the house for? The problem is, that's why she married him. These are supposed to be funny, folks. Richard DeYoung. Oh, I better read. This is a good one here. Wife says to her husband Christmas morning, "You know, honey, you're an angel. That is just what I needed to exchange for just what I want." All right. Richard DeHans, you ever heard of the Daily Bread? Richard DeHans is the one that put that out. His father said the nearest thing to heaven on earth is a happy Christian home. A home is the mother's glory. It is the children's paradise and a father's kingdom. Home is a place where the world of strife is shut out and an ocean of life is shut in. Oh, I wish that we could all be that way. It's amazing about a family. It's amazing about having a home. It's amazing about coming home. I was reading an article about a family that were they were down in the we would call it ghettos, or down in the lower part of the city. And they said that it's amazing. He said the family came to see them. He said, "We never seen such happy family in our whole life as a family. Had nothing. They had nothing, but they were happy. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." You know, there's a lot of times that people get so caught up in the things that they have to have and the newest things they have to have and the best things they have to have, but it doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring happiness. First of all, a husband-wife relationship is the highest and most important and most enduring relationship of all human ties. We've had friends. I just went back to my high school reunion, and there's some friends back there, but there's no friend, no tie like me and my wife for 47 and a half years. There's nothing like it. It is an amazing thing. You know, you can have friends. Some of you guys have friends in the military. I know some guys and police officers. They go through the academy together, and boy, they're the best of the buddies, you know. And they never forget each other. But there's nothing more fulfilling the relationship of the marriage ties. In marriage, a man and a woman become one flesh. They are bonded together in a union that embraces the whole personality. What a couple is married, God joins them. And man has no right to dissolve that unique combination of person. I want you to see what the Bible says. Would you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4? Matthew 19, verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, are you there yet? Matthew chapter 19, verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Aren't you glad about that? Boy, I am, amen. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, read it. Put asunder. Secondly, God intended that marriage would be a lifelong relationship. Even a goofy Canadian goose does that. They mate for life. They're forever. And there's a lot of animals like that. It's the most amazing thing. Most amazing thing. God intended this to be a lifelong relationship. Number three, God intended for marriage to have spiritual unity. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. I want you to look in that too. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. There's supposed to be a spiritual unity. So first of all, the husband-wife relationship is the highest, most important, enduring relationship of all time. Secondly, God intended marriage should be a lifelong relationship. And three, God intended for marriage to be a spiritual unity. Look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You're not to marry someone that's not a Christian. Someone that does not believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose on the third day. You're not to have anything to do with that. Let me tell you something. The scientists, not scientists, but psychologists say that if you spend 168 hours with anybody, you can fall in love with them. So I'd be very careful who I went around with, amen? I'd be very careful that when I'm looking for my mate, I'd be careful, I would find out, is she saved? Or is he saved? I pastored the Delavan Baptist Church 47 years ago. And there's a lady in my church that I asked her, we were having an evangelistic meeting, I asked her, I said, is Claude saved? And she said to me, I don't know. I said, what do you mean? Well, that's just kind of a personal thing. I said, you telling me that this husband that you love someday may die and burn in hell forever? Well, I've just never got around to the question. They were married probably about 40 years by then. So Claude liked me, and he took me out fishing one night. We were We were fishing crappies with fly rods with a popper on the end. I don't know if you've ever done that, but you throw the fly rod out and you can hear that little thing popping in the water. And all of a sudden, boy, that old crappie come up. That thing just sound like a cow pulling her foot out of the mud and go, oh, man, ain't nothing like it. And I got a nice crappie, and that's the first time I ever used a fly rod. And he said, hey, preacher, he said, you're doing pretty good. I said, man, Claude, this is fun. He said, yeah, we got to keep doing this. I said, Claude, I got a question to ask you. You know, we're getting to be good friends, and it'd be a terrible thing that I wouldn't know this. If you died today, would you go to heaven? He said, yep. I said, what? He said, yep. He said, I was 14 years old, got saved, but he says, you know, the way my wife talks, I'm embarrassed to go to church. I'm embarrassed to go to church. I said, what do you mean? Well, you know, preacher, she's a gossip. And he says, I feel bad about it. So I said, okay, so I just kind of blew that off. And I said, so if you die today, where did you go? He said, I go to heaven. How do you know that? I said, I asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sin, to ask to come in your heart. I said, have you been baptized? Nope. I said, you need to get, okay, do it right now. I said, no. I said, let's wait for church service, amen. And I baptized that guy in the same lake that I went crappie fishing with him, amen. And his wife was so surprised, he was saved, bawl like a baby. And I said to her, you know, I really feel bad that all these years you lived with him and didn't even know that he was saved. What a terrible feeling, amen. So when we get saved, you got to make sure. I mean, when you get married, you got to make sure that both persons know Christ as their personal Savior. If you don't know that, what a terrible thing. What a terrible thing. And God says you're not to be unequally yoked. You can't pull the same way. Number four, marriage has a biblical pattern. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Go back there. 5:22 has a biblical pattern. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. Years ago, there's a young man, kind of like Mike Partain. How many of you remember Mark Partain? He's a great guy. Anyway, he's never been married before. Someday I think that old boy's going to get married. Some little girls are going to just wrap him around his finger, and he'll just, like all of us guys were, amen? And this guy hadn't been married. He's in his 30s. And, oh my goodness, served the Lord, faithful, at church all the time, just doing everything he could. And he met this young lady, and he started falling in love with her. He said, man, I really like her. She really likes me. And you know how it goes. And sure enough, they got married. And about 3 months after he got married, he came knocking on the preacher's door and said, preacher, I got trouble. And the preacher's going, oh, not what? Oh. He said, I thought this is a marriage made in heaven. They're both Christians that want to serve the Lord. And he says, Pastor, I got to talk to you about this marriage and the preacher. You know, when we preachers hear that, our heart just drops. I can't tell you how it just, our heart just, oh. And, well, come on in and sit down. So he came in and sat down, and he says, so tell me what's going on. He said, preacher, he says, I have never loved anybody so dearly and truly as I love her. And he said, I'm afraid, preacher, that I'm loving her. Boy, I love the Jesus. And the preacher jumped up, shouted glory, hallelujah, yee-haw, and all the things we say. And he said, brother, that's what it's about. He says, what do you mean that's what it's about? He says, the Bible says you're to love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave it. You ought to feel that way about her. Boy, I'll tell you, that old boy went home happy. He went real home happy, amen. He realized that that was the greatest thing. Now, in 2004, I don't know if you remember that or not. Some of you probably weren't even born. But in 2004, Americans thought it was more important to strengthen family and create more jobs and fight pollution. Besides the presidential election, Americans in 11 states voted to protect the traditional marriage. They passed ballots measuring defining marriage between one man, one woman, and forbidding a union of sodomitic couples. Sodomy means a boy and a boy, a girl and a girl. Before the vote was cast, Senate Majority Leader Bill First, Republican of Tennessee, told the Senate, "The question is no longer whether the Constitution will be amended. The question is who will amend it and how it will be amended." He said, "Will activist judges who are not elected by American people destroy the institution of marriage?" He said this in the Senate. "Or will the people protect marriage as the best way to raise children? American understands that children need moms and dads. And we'd be foolish to permit a vast, untested social experience on family and children, bedrock of our society." That's what he said. "For now, the definition of marriage remains in the hands of the unelected judges." Hear that? Even today. "Marriage is the most important institution in our society." Would you agree with me? I wrote part of this in November 29, 2004, 12 years ago, and sure enough, it's come true. "The dirty, rotten, filthy, unelected, godless judges," yes, you can quote me on that, "made a law instead of saying that the staying with 11 states to define marriage. They said, no, we will not go with your vote and the desire of the people. We will make sodomy a way of life." And they have. "It is vital ensuing social stability. Truly, it is the most important social safety net of our country. A man and a woman who are married act together as a team to share the moral and financial responsibility of raising children." Amen? "Consistently, surveys show that the children from homes with intact marriages, particularly those emphasize religion, do better in life than any other family in the United States of America. They're better prepared to weather tough times. Many in our society seriously misunderstood what God intended when God gave the instruction manual, the Bible. For instance, theft destroys the basic trust needed in civil society. When somebody steals something, it destroys our basis of trust. Adultery destroys the family. Caste chaos is future generations. So when you destroy your family going in being immoral, then it's going to happen to the next family and the next family. It just gets keeping worse. These are the words of wisdom from the manufacturer, Jesus. Here's a list of the states that approved the Constitution Amendment defining a marriage and union, November 2nd, 2004. Arkansas passed it by 75%. Georgia, 77%. Kentucky, 75%. Michigan, 59%. I was pretty embarrassed about that. Mississippi, 86%. Montana, 66%. Yes, we passed a bill on this. North Dakota, 73%. Ohio, 62%. Oklahoma, 76%. Oregon, 57%. Utah, 66%. Comparable initiatives were passed several other states, Alaska, Hawaii, Nebraska, Nevada, Missouri, Louisiana, by similar margin in the past months. These referendums on marriage are seen by some of the most backlash to a 4-3 decision of the Massachusetts Supreme Court, Justice Court, November 2003, that legalized same-sex in the state. Knight has a message to the people who live in the Bay State. If I were a Massachusetts citizen right now, I would be furious that 4 judges in my state took it upon themselves to declare marriage obsolete and to replace it with absurd gender-neutral models, he said. This news just broke when I was writing that justice refused to challenge gay marriage. The Supreme Court on Monday sidestepped in dispute over gay marriage and rejected a challenge. The nation's only law sanctioned such marriage. And on we go. And here we're at 2016 now. Number five. God intended marriage to consist of three elements. Leaving, cleaving, and fusion. One set and one flesh. Unless all three of these take place, there is no true marriage between the two people involved. Consequently, two people who engage in premarital sex and are not even married, though physically they are not flesh, one flesh, they're not leaving, nor are they cleaving. They are guilty of what the Bible calls fornication or sexual union between an unmarried person. It is wrong. It is against God's word. Say amen. It's against God's word. Why would we want to act like a bunch of animals? God says no. You and I know all the sexual transmitting diseases out there, all the junk that goes along with it, the heartache, the brokenness that caused before. No, you're not to do that. How stupid can we get? Well, you know, that they really loved each other. No, they were sinning. They went against God's word. No, it's wrong. They need to straighten up. They need to stop. They need to get married. Consequently, two young people who engage in premarital sex, they're not a one flesh, they're not leaving, they're not cleaving, they are guilty of what the Bible calls fornication. Unity of marriage, of one flesh, is the deepest meaning and included much more than just the physical union of a man and a woman. I will say something that I was talking to my cousin, Dr. Streeter, about this, and he says, Sheldon, he says, do you understand that when a man and woman come together, that there's a transfer of some kind of genes that will never be taken away? So she'll always have a part of him. That right alone ought to say to a young man, I'm keeping myself to my wedding night. I thought we were Christians in here. I thought you believed the Bible. You believe it or not, amen? Yeah, that's what happens. So we want to teach our children. We want to make sure they say, hey, boy, you wait. Hey, girl, you wait. Watch out. Be careful. Be very careful. You say, why are you talking about this? Because it's my job. You didn't know the Bible. For this reason, couples need many common and complementary interests and able to grow together. It is interesting to observe couples who have enjoyed a good marriage of 40 and 50 years, how they begin to talk alike. I mean, my wife and I, we used to just look at each other and, I know what you was thinking. No, I can't have that gun. But anyway, just look at each other. We knew. Don't you? You know what's going on. Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing how many people that have been living together, their same actions, which can be very scary. Sometimes, even their looks. Thank God my wife didn't happen to do that for me. Amen. It's humbling to a man to know that he is incomplete without a woman. But it is his glory to have a woman. The Bible says that, you know, it's a great thing. It's a blessing to have a wife. It's a blessing to have one who loves you and cares for you and you can trust her. Boy, how important is that? Amen. It's a glory. It's a wonderful thing to know that women are created for him. Likewise, it's humbling to a woman to know that she was created for the man. But it is to her glory to know that she alone can complete him. The Bible says, God said, I'm going to make man so she can complete man. She's a completer. Right in Genesis. He needs a completer. You know that ladies can live alone so eat more easily than a man can? Why? She's a complete thing. She's the whole package in a box. I mean, it's just there. But a guy, oh my goodness, I remember when my mom passed away. My dad, he just beside himself. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. He's looking for a woman. He wants somebody to marry. You know? Some people do. But, you know, boy, ladies, you are a completer. You're the person at home that's the glue to keep everything together. Wave your hanky or say something to me. That's right. You know it is. We cannot rise any farther than our wife allows us to rise. Whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. Well, there's nothing in this world more precious than a lady. The Bible says she is the weaker of us too. That means that we are to protect her in every way. It doesn't say she's not as smart as we are, because I've certainly met a lot of them that are a lot smarter. And wonder why in the world you married him. But anyway, but the smartness is, hey, we're not dealing with that. Somebody said, well, the Bible says that they're supposed to submit unto us. Yeah. 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 Somebody's got to lead. Somebody's got to take charge. Sometimes the wife says, honey, I don't know if we ought to go that way or not. And the husband has the responsibility of taking charge then. Say, well, okay, let's do it your way. Many, many times I've done that with my wife. Many, many times. She says, I said, well, you know, we ought to do this. And she said, well, maybe you ought to do that. And there's a couple factors in there that I wasn't considering that girls have. You know, they got that sixth sense. You know, y'all got that, right? Don't lie at me. Don't lie to me. I know you know it. And you say, well, what about this? What about that? Now, here's where it comes. Here's where the rubber hits the road, okay? When you say, honey, I don't think that ought to be. And he says, well, this is what we're going to do. Then what are you supposed to do? Huh? You're supposed to submit. We're supposed to submit. Now, let me preach the sermon, not you, sister. I'm heading for that. We had a lady come to our church, Mrs. Smith, great lady. And she taught our ladies. And she says, you know, I believe in submission. I believe in duck submission. And when she said that, I thought, quack, 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 quack. No. And she says, when Brother Smith and I had a little discussion about some things, and she said, and he says, I think this is what we ought to do. And she said, then I put my 2 cents worth in. And not deflammatory, but I say, you know. So, and he says, well, honey, I just think this is what we ought to go. And she says, fine. And when God is upset with you, I'm going to duck and let you have it. Amen. And I think that's a great idea. That'll keep you straight. And by the way, I, with all my trust in the Word of God, when a woman comes and bears her heart to her man, but her husband says, no, this is where we're going, I believe with all my heart God's going to bless her for that. God's going to bless her for that, keeping her mouth shut. I'm not supposed to say it, to be silent. And to allow him to make the decisions. Because hopefully he'll get smart enough to know that it doesn't feel very good just smacked by God. Amen. And you ought to be listening. This marriage business is not a 50-50, man. It's 100-100. It's important that we get, hey, listen, we're trying to raise our kids up. We don't need to battle. Today I was watching, I can't remember what football game it was, but anyway, one of the players missed a tackle, chasing this guy, and the guy caught, got a touchdown. And boy, they came back, and they were They were talking to each other. They're furious with each other. Well, they're furious with this one defensive back that didn't do his job. That shouldn't be in a home. You ought to be sweet and kind. You raise your boys. You're just as bad as your kid raising his voice when you discipline him for doing that. You don't lose your temper. Hey! That's the best thing you ever got. The greatest gift that God ever gave you is your wife. It's the greatest gift that God ever gave you is your husband. Why would you ever want to fight with each other and God have mercy, say bad things about each other? And guess what? Guess what? You know what? God put little spies in your home. There are about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and you have it. And when you act like that, guess what the kids think they can do? Well, I get married, I'm going to sass my wife, I'm going to sass her. No, that's not what God intended to do. Because I grew up in a family with my daddy and my mama. I never one time, listen to me now, I never one time ever heard them be cross. I heard my mama give my daddy some advice every once in a while. I'm not out of meanness, but I'm a very calm, kind, and say, honey, but what do you think about this? And my dad says, you know, you're right, Genevieve. I never seen him strike her. I never heard him say anything bad about her. And buddy, I'll tell you what, if I didn't do what my mama said, my dad was coming on me, amen. He was a judge and executioner right there, amen. Boy, we protect these people that we call ladies. We watch over, the Bible says they're a weaker vessel. Not they're not smarter than us, and not they're not, but the Bible says that we're just He-Man. You know, we're just stronger. Now, I've seen some girls that are pretty strong. I saw a fight one time, and I could never believe it. Two girls are fighting. I'd never want to get between them. That was the worst thing I ever seen in my life. I tell you what, I'm telling you, I mean biting and pulling hair and punching and kicking and screaming and I watched it. It was pretty funny, you know, but I don't want to get in there. But let's face it, guys are stronger. God made you stronger. But he didn't say anything about wiser. But I'll tell you what, there's some girls that have grown up in good homes and had some good teaching and some good training, and they say, honey, I don't think we ought to go that way because why? Because of this. Maybe I ought to think about that. Hey, you say, but pastor, what kind of man are you? You want to try it? I could probably last about a minute. I'm not a sissy because I listen to my wife. I'm not a deadbeat because I found out that she knows something about something. I don't know everything. And she knows a lot. Well, I miss that. I miss that counsel today. I really do. And you better get it while you can get it. Because you have no promise how long you've got that precious thing living with you. You have no promise. And ladies, my Aunt Bonnie right now, her Uncle Al, he's just a big old teddy bear to my aunt. Anything Aunt Bonnie wanted, he even painted her house Pepto-Bismol pink. I said, man. He said, hey, your Aunt Bonnie wanted it? I painted it. But you never see a couple like that in your life. They just love each other and smooching on each other. That's gross, you know. And they were just buddies. I called Corey today, and he said, you know, Dad, they're really special people, aren't they? I said, yeah. So they sure loved each other. I said, yeah, they did. And they still do. He's had Alzheimer's for a number of years now. Every day she's there. Every day. Every day she got to the place she couldn't take care of this big man. And had to put him at home. Every day she's there. Every day. She's getting old too. She's in her 90s. Back and forth every day. Back and forth every day. Back and forth. Stay with him. And then go home, sleep, come back. I'm telling you something. You better enjoy what you got right now. You better just as the Bible says, there are two things a man gets in life. Number one, the food and drink that he eats, and the love of his wife. That's all you get in life. That's all you're going to get. You're not going to take any of your toys home with you to heaven, but you're going to take your wife home to heaven with you. Amen. I like what Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said. Someone said, Dr. Bob, do you ever think about divorcing your wife? No, sir. I never thought about divorcing my wife. But I thought about killing her a few times. But the Bible says we are to be very careful how we hold this precious thing that we call. And Jesus called a thing. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And this thing is the most precious thing you'll ever have in your life. And if you got something really precious, you're going to take good care of it. And you're going to make sure that it is taken care of well and proper. And your desires will be to her more than to yourself. That's true love. True love says this. I just can't believe that you married me. I don't deserve you. And true love says, I can't believe that you wouldn't marry me. I don't deserve you. Oh, man. What a beautiful... But you get some old sweetie pie. And she says, you're lucky you got me. Number six, God intended marriage to be according to the Scriptures. Now, this is what marriage is. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Some of you people having a little problem at home, you ought to be writing down some of these sermons. Scriptures. Hebrews 13, 4. Marriage is what?
Honorable.
That's an honorable thing. It's a wonderful thing to be married. Marriage is honorable in all. And the bed undefiled. But the whoremonger and adulterer, God will judge. Honor, dishonor. You keep that bed undefiled. That bed is just for you and her, or you and him. That's all it's for. Nobody else. Undefiled. Everything is okay in the marriage bed as long as it's not offending to the either. But when one of the couple says, you know, I'm not uncomfortable, then that stops right there. You understand that, amen? Yeah. Marriage is honorable in all. And the bed undefiled. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish or fill up the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So right there God tells you, you ought to go fishing and you ought to go bird hunting and you ought to go after the beasts of the field. Amen. I just want you to know that, guys. You can write that down. The Bible said that. It said the same thing about how he created man and woman for each other. He also created the hunting for each other. Amen. All right. I said that because Mrs. Hobbs is not in here. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Number seven, God intended mankind to understand the wiles of the devil when he comes to the assault on marriage. Satan seemed to unleash every weapon of his arsenal to destroy marriage. Some of the more popular darts of the devil is what we call the new morality. since the 50s, American morals have been undergoing widely publicized revolution. At first, it seemed like a great deal of talking without much action. However, today, there's mounting evidence that the real change is in America's society. I was reading an article the other day that told me how many children are born to unmarried parents. Unbelievable. Change in our society. Most of you, when I was growing up, I remember my friend saying that they were getting a divorce, and I couldn't believe it. I had a friend, her name was Claudia, best friend, I mean, not girlfriend, but best friend, and we used to talk all the time, and she told me one day, and she said, you know what? She said, Mom and Dad are getting divorced. And we're sitting on a car, on the hood of a car, and she just wept and wept and wept and wept. All of a sudden it started. And all of a sudden now, even in our own church tonight, many have. And I love you. I'm so sorry that had to happen. I just pray to God that now God says you're not to go and drop the husband you have or the wife you have now and go back to the first one. God says, no, you stay with them. You love them. And you do right this time. Stay right with God. God will bless you. God will take care of you. God will help you. Aren't you glad about that? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, that is the same thing for that as all the other stuff. Glory to God. Somebody ought to be jumping up and down shouting hallelujah on that. Thank God for that. God loves us. He gives us another chance and another chance and another chance. The new motto today, and I don't know if you've heard it lately, it's called No Strings, No Rings, No Strings. If they fall out of love, they can find another lover and start again. No rings, no strings. I was talking to some pastors on the conference last week, and they said this, that, you know, there's some things going on in our world that we just can't believe it. And the one thing is that children from Christian homes have experienced brutal things in the home, daddy and mama, how they act. So now they says, I'm not willing to take a chance on marriage. I'm not going to do it. So we'll just live together. That's what we've given them. Hey, that's what we've given them. We're giving our children, says it's not important to be married anymore. The philosophy of the United States of America now is, hey, have it your way. Government, we'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. You live like a rat. Have as many offspring as you want. Have mercy. This all boils down to Genesis 1. And in Genesis 2, where God made man in his image. And this, we are to be married. We are to be one. He said, that's why Adam and Eve were made. We have the Playboy philosophy. Centuries ago, philosophers taught of pleasure was the highest good of man. The philosophy of Hinduism has never left this planet. Sexual pleasure is like any other. It is no different from pleasures of having delicious steak and having intercourse with somebody. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. Are you kidding me? That is the most precious part of being married. That is the most blessed time. And they turn it out and just say, well, it's just like having a steak. Situation ethics. The world says that there are times when immorality is really moral, depending on the situation and the application of the love of law. Hey, folks, if you go to Heritage Baptist Church, you don't believe that. You don't believe that. You believe that a couple restrain themselves until they're married. You know, I'd hope that he really wanted to have his girlfriend. I hope that she really wanted to have her boyfriend. But they restrain themselves because of the law that God has set up. Hold them apart, Dad, Mom. Marsh and I, when we got engaged, oh my goodness. Rick, it was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I mean, they let us be together and everything, and all of a sudden, I put that diamond on her finger, and her mother just, she's like a bulldog. I said, what's the deal? And Marcia says, I don't know what's going on with Mom. I don't know what's going on with Dad. I'll tell you what's going on. Bless God, they wanted us to come to the altar, virgins. What's wrong with that? I heard somebody say, I never kissed my wife until we got married. I said, man, that's amazing. He said, she wasn't my wife. But anyway, sorry. I'm just trying to wake some of you up. Hey, morality is very important for us, very important for our country. I was reading the scriptures the other day, and the Bible says when a man goes on to a woman that's not his wife, he loses his honor. She loses her virginity, but he loses his honor. And every time the thought comes up, he remembers that time. You don't forget those times. He remembers those times. He remembers those times. Thank God 1 John 1:9 is in the book. Yes, Satan is making an assault against the family. Over 60% of the people are divorced in the United States now. Even it's higher in Cascade County. For every 10 marriages, there's 8 divorces. The world's gone wild. And if you're here tonight and think I'm judging you, you don't know me. I love you very much. I have a couple sisters that have had a situation and brothers. I understand it. It's the most tenuous thing you have to go through. And I love you. And my heart's for you. But I will continue to preach the Bible to keep everybody else from it. Amen? I'm gonna try everything I can to keep these girls virtuous and keep these guys to have their honor until the day that they put their they put the ring on. And then the Bible says, when you're married, that's an honor. It's an honor. I'll close with this. Imagine renting a rustic wooden cabin in a beautiful forest setting for a honeymoon. The place was delightful. At dawn, however, one of them great big woodpeckers started a rat-a-tat-tat, 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 early in the morning, pounding on the roof. The sound was so loud they couldn't even sleep. It happened dawn after next morning, third day and the fourth. What did they do? They'd rented it. Many people say, I'll tell you what they do, shoot the stinking bird. Some say, who cares? It's our honeymoon. This incident with the woodpecker happened to Gracie and Walter Lance on their honeymoon. They were inspired to create the cartoon character of Woody the Woodpecker. Walter was an illustrator. Gracie was the voice. Many years later, when interviewed on their 50th wedding anniversary, Gracie said, it was the best thing that ever happened to us. There's going to be woodpeckers on your roof. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to try to keep you, but if you just understand that many times things happen to us to make us better. Things happen to us to encourage us. I want to encourage you tonight. Live for God. I want to encourage you to fall on your knees beside her. Put your arm around her and pray with her tonight. Well, I'd give everything to hear mine to pray again. I asked her a while back, I said, honey, you want to pray? And she said, no. She says, it's just all mixed up. You never heard a word of a woman pray like my wife. Can you get down on your knees and pray tonight out loud? Put the stinking kids away in bed. Lock their door. Do something. Hide the peanut butter. I saw a picture the other day of a little girl got in the peanut butter jar when her mama thought it was real quiet. I never seen a little girl with peanut butter from one end to the other. That's the funniest thing I ever seen. Says, you got to be careful where you leave the peanut butter. That's what it said. Please spend some time with each other in the morning. Have that little time of prayer. Hug each other. Kiss each other. Gross out your kids. That's good. The greatest thing you'll ever do for that little girl of yours is love her mama. The best thing you ever do for that little boy is love your daddy. Love his daddy. Don't let this thing go. Boy, there's just so much junk out there. Man, things will change like that. Know you love one person, all of a sudden, like a firecracker, man. The thing goes off in your hand, you know. Wait a minute. Just take it easy. Just promise each other that only one's going to get mad at the time, okay? Don't both of you get mad. And secondly, when the first one gets mad, the next thing is shut your mouth. Give her the chocolate. Let's stand. Give her the chocolate. Give her the chocolate. Amen. Father, we love you and we thank you for the Word of God, how it teaches us how we ought to love each other. Oh God, please help us to be very careful about that. Help us to be a person that realizes the great responsibility we have when we say, I do, and I will. God, please cement our marriages strong and tight. Seal them, Lord God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to realize the fact that we can never be so happy as to the one we have now. Bless this time in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.